Hey everyone, and welcome back to MetalheadRadio.com. I'm DJ Lovely Laura, playing some great music there off of the brand new CD by the band Charlotte. That's off of the Medusa Groove album. That was Little Devils, and we're going to be joined live today with the very dynamic lead vocalist from the band, Eric Ganz. He's hanging out over in the park out there in New York City. So let's say hello and welcome Eric. Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? How you doing, Laura? Good to talk with everyone today.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, man. I'm loving the album. We've already played, like, I think 4 or 5 tracks today, and I'm probably going to play the rest of them. And the response is just incredible.
That's awesome. And, you know, of course, we never get tired of hearing that. That's great to know.
So you guys are on the Eonian record label. How did you guys hook up with those guys?
Started with MySpace. My bass player Chris called me, you know, a couple years back and said, "Hey, you want to put the stuff up on MySpace?" I said, "Sure, why not?" I was actually with another band at the time, out in California, and then I had just come back to New York, and I said, "Sure, let's put the Charlotte stuff up there." And you know, had checked the site one day and got this message from Eonian Records. And I thought, oh, let me see what this is all about, because, you know, you get a lot of promotional companies contacting you. They always want money up front. As we all know, never give anyone money up front. So after I briefly insulted Steve at Eonian Records by considering him one of the many promotional companies, he said, no, this is a genuine distro record deal. We want to put your stuff out there. A friend of ours, actually in the band Charlemagne, was also signed to the label. We contacted him. He said, it's all legit. So we were happy to oblige and get our stuff out there, and now we're global.
Very cool. So this album, Medusa Groove, was this something you guys recorded back in the 80s that you just got out today?
That is correct. These are recorded back when, but it was remastered just this year. And due to the great production that we had from the three producers we had working on that stuff, it really came alive again. It sounds like... to me and to others I've spoken with, you know, it really sounds like it was recorded recently, and we're happy about that. Definitely. Yeah, it was like late 80s to mid-90s we recorded that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. We've already had some friends of mine I was talking to in the chat room a while ago, and definitely I think we agree that it's one of the best albums on the label, we think.
That's great. Well, that is so cool. Yeah, again, we never get tired of hearing that. You know, I mean, we do what we do, and from an artist standpoint, I'm sure you've heard it before, talking to other guys and girls and that perform. It's, you know, you throw it out there. You try to be as real and as honest with yourself as an artist that you can. And, you know, if you think too much about what people are going to say, then you're not going to come up with the product that I think you're best able to put out. So that's what we do. And the fact that people like it is, you know, it's a bonus, really.
Right. Definitely. All right, so back in the 80s, I mean, I grew up in the 80s too, so I just love that time and era. It was the big time of rock.
Still growing up, what are you talking about?
me too. And back in the glam days, and I know you guys probably went down that avenue before you guys put this band together and decided to go a different direction, but what were you doing before Charlotte?
Before Charlotte?
Yeah.
You know, really, Charlotte was it's almost my first band, I would say, because other than a couple name changes, the core members have always been the same. You know, before Charlotte, I was in high school, and I mean, that was it. Right out of high school, I formed this band, and we relocated to Los Angeles, and that was it. As far as what we were doing, yeah, you nailed it. You know, we had the spandex and the hairspray, and that was fun and everything. It's funny. I was just on Facebook a few days ago, and someone threw some retro pics on there, and they said, "Geez, man, from back then, all the hair looks the same, whether you were a guy or a girl." but yeah, you know, we were doing that whole thing, and I think when we started just exploring, you know, we're musicians. We love so many different kinds of music, and my guitar players especially, you know, love like the Allman Brothers and the old blues stuff, and, you know, we all like the heavy stuff, of course, and different genres like jazz, blues, etc. And I think when you know, when it came down to it, at the end of the day, we felt like we'd get more out of ourselves. So that glam thing started becoming less appealing.
Right.
And then when we saw bands like Faith No More, who I love still to this day, and Guns N' Roses, that inspired us to say, okay, we can, you know, take a different road here. We don't. So the Hairspray came out, the hair fell down, spandex came off, jeans came on, leather, you know, different look, different sound. Different rhythm section to accommodate the style, and there you go.
Awesome, and it sounds incredible. You have an awesome voice. You guys have this heavy blues metal sound, but what does it mean to put the voodoo back in rock and roll, like you guys say so much?
Yeah, that seems to be the catchphrase. You know, I think just listening to all those Delta Blues guys, and you get familiar with New Orleans and you know, some of these old cats just really got the voodoo. Voodoo, mojo, whatever you want to call it, keeping it real. To me, the voodoo of rock and roll just represents the inherent magic in music. And I think musicians can obtain that. You know, there are some of us that look at it more blue-collar, and it's true, you do have to work hard. But I think you can obtain a magical sense of things when you get everything clicking the right way, when the songs are at top form and everyone in the band is really enjoying what's going on. I think sometimes I see bands that they don't have that quote-unquote voodoo, and sometimes it's because you may notice as an audience, because you can never underestimate anyone's intelligence,
right,
that the audience notices that maybe one or two of the guys just aren't into it like some of the others. And I think a lot of that comes with not being unanimous. That's one thing Charlotte has always taken pride in, is that if we're not unanimous about something, be it a gig or a song in the set list, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't. And I don't mind. I like to put my ego aside. When I bring a song, let's say I'm so psyched about this song I just wrote and I bring it to rehearsal, and there's two of the guys that are going, oh, I don't know, man, I don't know. For whatever reason, you know, part of you wants to slap them in the face and you know, you satisfy your ego, but really, for the better of the whole of the thing, I just say, okay, if these guys aren't into it, it's just not going to reach that voodoo state, that magical state where everyone is really just clicking and feeling it, and that those intangibles are coming out, and the audience is saying, wow, these guys are on another level. That's really what I strive for, both on record and live, and you have to put away your ego to do that sometimes.
I really hear a lot of different influences with the sound of the band and your voice. I was listening to one song, and I swear it reminded me of Blue Murder a little bit, and then I was listening to another
one. Talking about them.
Yeah, and then I was also listening to another song, and you sounded a lot like the band The Cult a little bit. I was like...
Another band that I love.
So you can definitely feel those influences coming across in the music, for sure.
Well, The Cult... I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No, go ahead.
The Cult, I think, both Ian Astbury and myself, I think, exhibit a fondness for our old pal Jim Morrison. I mean, that guy, you know,
yeah,
quintessential front man of the 60s and 70s. You know, you got to love Jim. Love him or hate him, he's there, and he did his thing. And you can hear that in Astbury's voice, and I think it rubbed off on me, too. And it ties in with the whole blues thing. You know, the Doors were all about that way back when. And so it all kind of connects. I really enjoy that kind of... you know, raw vocal sound. But yeah, you're pretty accurate, I would say. Those are singers and bands that I love.
So, speaking of the original members of the band, now, is the band lineup Eric, Nick, Vinny, Chris, and Eric D? Is that correct?
Eric D. Bruton, yep.
So how did
you look? You looked at the Airplay Direct where they forgot Eric's last name, I think.
They did.
It just says Eric D, and we're like, who the heck is that guy?
You know,
yeah, no, that is the lineup, yep.
You know what was funny is I actually heard you interview, you were interviewed on a station that I used to be with. I'm not going to...
Yeah, what's that?
I'll give you a hint. Oh! don't say it. What?
Say it again. What was it?
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just giving you a hint. Oh!
That's the hint? That scream?
That's the hint. It's like a howl. Okay.
Oh, a howl. I know. Okay, yeah, those are cool people. I know who you're talking about. Can I say it or no? Am I not allowed?
No.
Yeah. That was one of the first ones. Yeah, they really liked the band, too. We'll just say that they're overseas, correct? Or most of them, anyways?
I think most of them are. Yeah, I just left when I came over here. But what was really funny is I was listening to the interview, and I guess I really hadn't looked at the pictures of you guys to see who was who and what you guys look like. And so I think after that, I went over to Eric D's page and was like, hey, you did such a great – and he probably just thought, what a dumbass, you know, because it wasn't you.
Oh, you had the wrong Eric?
Yeah, I definitely had the wrong Eric, so it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't had blonde hair, well, forever, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see, you know, another personal profile over there, so I was just assuming that, you know.
Well, you got to check out our website if you haven't lately. It's all updated. Everything's going.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've definitely checked you guys out now, but it's just funny that because I've known Eonian Records from way back 3 years ago at another station that I worked for, and I've always played a lot of their bands and things like that, so I've known Steven for a while. Anyways, you guys, you know, of course, when I'm hearing the band Charlotte, I'm thinking Charlotte the Harlot, which of course, is how you guys got this name. So
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So tell us the story behind that a little bit. You guys just sitting around talking and
yeah, we were, we used to be called White Hot. That goes way back. And you know, once we settled into LA and started making a splash, we could see things were going really well. And this kind of fell in conjunction with the whole style change that we discussed earlier. You know, we were sitting around talking about, hey, what are we going to name ourselves, you know, and we kind of forgot about it. And then on another day, we were going up to rehearsal or something, and we were talking about, we were talking about some girls that we knew, and we said, well, you know, there's a lot of powerful women out there that have made their mark on history, and we started going through, people like Joan of Arc, and
right.
You know, this had nothing to do with changing the name of the band either, and then someone mentioned Charlotte the Harlot, and they're like, yeah, now there's a reputation, you know, like to service all of mankind, and then we start talking about the Iron Maiden song and the whole Celtic legend of Charlotte the Harlot, and I was with another friend who was not in the band, and his mother was very nearby, and you know, we were quite younger then, and she started lecturing us like, oh, you boys, you know, what are you talking about? And he said, oh, we were just talking about Charlotte the Harlot, and she goes, oh, that, she goes, that Jezebel, she goes, she infested the Bible or something like that, and I didn't even know. I mean, I've read some of the Bible, I guess, but you know, I don't know it verbatim, and I'm like, really? She infested the Bible as well? I'm like, all right, that's it. That's our girl. So, yeah, no, that's how Charlotte came to be. It is after the Harlot, and, you know, we just like the raw power of her sexual nature, and you know, of course, when you're forming a rock band and you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you know, a universal whore sounds like a great fun thing.
Definitely.
It still sounds fun.
It still sounds fun.
Sure.
Definitely every guy's dream, I guess.
Oh, why not? Why not? As long as she's got smarts, too.
Exactly. All right, speaking of Jezebel, you guys, do you remember your first show over there at that place?
That was the first show we did in L.A. It was at Jezebel's in Orange County. I'm pretty sure it's still there. You know, a lot of these places have changed names except for the Roxy and the Whiskey. But, yeah, that was our first show in L.A., Orange County.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
It went great. You know, it was more of the same. It was just in a different state. We were, you know, fresh from New York. At least half the band was. And I remember the response was great. And, you know, it was just, I think from there it was just more the launching pad. That was the show I remember. It's like, okay, I'm here. We did the show. Now what? You know, I always felt like things can get better and better. But the response was good.
Very awesome. And then playing at the Roxy and the Whiskey, that there must be some good stories to playing over there.
There are some great stories.
So. I want to hear them.
Well, the Whiskey is my favorite, my personal favorite. Maybe the whole band doesn't agree with me. I know it was always that place just has sort of a dark aura to it that, you know, I think doesn't exist in the others. I mean, they all have that Sunset Strip, you know, classic rock and roll, heavy metal thing going on. The Whiskey, though, is just, you know, you can see the ghosts in there. I mean, you got Zeppelin and Hendrix and the Doors that played there, the Sex Pistols, Motley Crue, Van Halen, Iron Maiden, everyone's played there. And And I don't know, there's just something about the place, the way it's set up, the double levels, the history of it. And, yeah, that place really, I mean, it's funny, too. We've been kicked out of there like 3 times, only to be asked back. And, you know, various violations having to do with alcohol and great girls and all that stuff.
And girls and details, and what do you mean?
Say, what's that?
With alcohol and girls, I want details.
You want details? Uh-huh. Oh, man. Well, there were a couple of shows. Well, I know the highlight of when we got kicked out of there actually had to do with arson. It was fire. It was during the Gulf War, the first one, that is, with Daddy Bush.
Uh-huh.
And you guys know him down there in Texas a little bit, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
And I had an effigy of Saddam Hussein that I had created that day in my apartment and took it on stage with me. You know, it was like a picket stick there with a sign on top, and it was Saddam's face. I'm a pretty good artist, so it looked like him for sure. And I, you know, got a little political on stage, but it was more just to rile everybody up, go USA, lit the thing on fire, got into an argument with the bouncer, some words were exchanged, I was lifted off of my feet, actually, as far as I remember. Didn't go too well. And I just kind of was laughing at the guy, but he said, that's it, you're out of here, you're banned, you're not allowed to light things on fire. So the next time we're let back in, the promoter got us back in, and I had a bottle of tequila with me on stage. Every now and then, you know, you bring the party with you. And for some reason, I thought everybody deserved a tequila shower. So, you know, I just kind of sprayed it all over the front row, and I happened to get some of those girls that didn't have the overage wristband on. Yeah, they said, you know, technically you doused young women with alcohol, friend. And I said, well, you know, it's not like I was trying to hurt them. So, yeah, stories like that. My favorite one from the whiskey, though, is we had some friends. I've told the story a few times, but it's fun.
Okay.
There was a band. I know you know the band, Phantom Blue.
I don't.
Don't know Phantom Blue? Check them out. They were on Geffen for a while. From that day, I was pretty good friends with Gigi, the lead singer. We would hang out. We did a few shows together.
Phantom Blue.
I'm at the whiskey. You know, I think they played that night too. We were all there, and I'm taking a piss in the men's bathroom where I should be.
At least you're there.
That didn't matter to them. Gigi and one of the girls, I think the guitar player, busted through the door, and it all started because they wanted one of my skull rings.
Yeah.
So they busted the door as I'm urinating. I'm like, whoa, man, this isn't fair, unarmed men, you know? And started wrestling with me for the ring while I was in action. I don't know if I managed to get my pants up, but next thing you know, the three of us are wrestling around the bathroom. They're trying to pull the ring off. The toilet seat got broken. We smashed the mirror. And then finally a bouncer broke in. Once again, there I was being lifted off my feet by this giant Samoan guy. Pretty fun stuff. And... And once again, banned. And, yeah, I couldn't believe it. But the girls got a kick out of it, though, so I'm glad they enjoyed themselves.
Did they get the ring?
And they got the ring. Well, after all that, I felt like they deserved it.
Yeah. I can't believe that. I mean, rock and roll is setting things on fire. And, I mean, the spewing of the alcohol.
Young people, doused with alcohol, fire.
Yeah, and who cares if you're even in the right restroom when you're out of room like that?
Yeah, well, there you go. And, you know, who knows? Half the time, you know, they're so confused, they don't know where they're going anyways.
I'm shocked by that. I mean, I would think L.A. is the most, you know, accepting, you know, the stuff can happen. I'm shocked because I've seen some crazy stuff where I'm at. So that's, it was never a big deal, never.
Yeah, well, you know, once you're inside the walls, I guess everybody's got their own set of rules too. So,
yeah.
But yeah, good times. Love the whiskey. Great place to play. It always sounded good in there, I thought, which is very important, of course. And the Roxy, they always had their sound system dialed in pretty well too. That was a good place to play. Roxy always felt more to me like the Whiskey and the Roxy. They're two brothers, and the Roxy was the good brother, and the Whiskey was the bad brother, you know? But they were both great places to play, still are. And then back then, the Key Club was actually called Gazzari's. We only played there a few times. I never liked the sound as much in there, but it was a cool place to play.
Very cool. Now, what about the story? I heard something, or maybe I read it, about Nick getting naked at the Cat and Fiddle Pub.
Sort of thing would happen, okay? It's just, you know, LA is a hot place. You just need to disrobe sometimes. Yeah, I think when Nick started having a good time, he just liked to bear it all. And
I like that in a guy.
Oh, sure, sure. No, I'm sure we've all done it. There was one time when the cotton fiddle was funny. He actually jumped in the fountain in the middle of the courtyard too, which made a spectacle out of the whole thing. I think it was on Halloween night too, if I'm not. And I said, it's his birthday suit. That's his costume.
Yeah.
There was another time. There was a great club in L.A. we used to play called the FM Station. And, God, we got hammered one night after a show. Just good times. The after party started at the bar. And, I don't know, Nick and I ended up outside just showing some brotherly love. And we just started, messing around with each other. And then he said, hold on, man, because we used to get in, wrestling matches sometimes, just around. And he said, hold on, man, I got to take a piss. So he goes over to the side of the street, doesn't even try to be discreet at all. I mean, there's parking lots, there's people driving by. Just starts pissing in the street. And I said, that's it, buddy. I'm like, you're in for a golden shower.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I pulled down my pants. I started running after him with my thing in my hand, ready to go. He starts running away with his pants down his ankles. I got my gun in my hand trying to get him.
Oh, my God, that's too funny.
Who should drive by but Filthy McNasty, the owner of the FM station? Let me give you a quick background on him. Great guy, fun guy, party guy, thick German accent. He sees us. He's driving down the road. He slows down. He looks out his window. He goes, is that you guys? He goes, what the hell? You people get that freaking room, man. He goes, I'm going to have to think about this. And he drove away. It was pretty funny.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Disrobing, there comes a time when it's just clothing is too much.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I that's why women are always showing the boobs at the show. I mean, there's something about the alcohol, the feel of the rock and roll. It just makes you want to, you got to be a streaker or you got to show something.
Well, don't you think, too, it's kind of primitive? Like, we really secretly want to go back to the way, I mean, we weren't born with clothes on ever. Not in our present day. We're not
that's
born
true.
With clothes on. And back when, mankind didn't even put clothes on until, like, they needed to go hunting or something.
That's true. I mean, I feel more comfortable with them off. I mean, I'm sitting here with them off. No, I'm just kidding.
Why not? I'm sure the crew helping you out there at the station loves that. I should take mine off right here in the park. Well, women can go topless in New York State now. It is legal, I believe.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, they can.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. Yeah, I was upstate New York, a little while back, and it was hot out. We were in the park, and there were girls with their tops off. I'm pretty sure it is legal now for girls to go topless, which, I mean, come on, why not? I mean, guys are walking around with their shirts off. Girls figure, hey.
Wow, I didn't know that
at
all.
Yeah, yep. I'll do my homework. I'll do my research, but I'm pretty sure. And sometimes New York City rules differ from the rest of the state, but I'm pretty sure it's okay in the city as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
What made you get back to New York? How long were you out in L.A., and what drove you back to NY?
I'm from New York, and I went to L.A., like I said, pretty much right out of high school, did the band thing, love it out there, still do, always like going back. And then once Charlotte disbanded, we did do a couple shows back here. Our bass player, Chris, he's originally from Michigan. So he had gone back that way into Detroit, so he was pretty close to us. So we did do a couple shows in New York, and then after that I got into the world of production and jingles and commercials and all that good stuff. So it was good. I was using my voice in a different capacity, good experience. I still do that stuff to this day, write soundtrack and stuff like that.
Anything we might know?
Vinny and I did some sound design type music for the movie trailers.
Cool.
For Al Pacino's 88 Minutes.
All right.
And also there was a movie called Blindness, I think. So stuff like that, stuff that you wouldn't say, oh my God, it's those guys from Charlotte. but there's so much, that's just it about this business. There's so many ways to be successful, make money, enjoy doing what you're doing, make music. But not all of them, and most of them actually aren't jobs that would make you famous or infamous or well known. Even you just a lot of these guys are behind the scenes doing it.
Right.
But yeah, but those are two things that you would know. I've done some. Yeah, if you like football, the Buffalo Bills, you know, the team the Cowboys always beats up on in the Super Bowl. I did the music for their theme song that they played at the stadium and on the radio and on TV. So stuff like that, you know, you hear it in passing is what it is.
Right. Cowboys are my team. You know I'm from Texas.
I'm sure. And you know what? I love the Cowboys. I have friends in Texas, and I relate to the Cowboys because I am a true blue Yankee fan. So they are the baseball version of the Cowboys, you know, America's team and all that.
Our new stadium is just absolutely incredible.
Well, that's the other thing. Both those teams I just mentioned just built like the mecca sports complexes, and it's crazy. New Yankee Stadium is beautiful.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
All right, so a lot of bands, Eric, are getting back together, and you guys have this new CD out finally. I mean, it'd be great to see a reunion going on. Can we look forward to that? Or
I want to look forward to that. Yeah, we are discussing shows in L.A., for starters, just to pick up where we left off. Right now there are 4 or 5 dates in September being discussed. It's just a lot of politics and, you know, wheedling our way back into the scene. A lot of people are digging the music, so we're getting favorable response. Just a matter of, you know, cracking through again. So once those dates are set, I feel like that will launch everything. I would like to take it beyond L.A. I would love to go to Europe. We're getting some great response over there. I feel like, you know, if we did that, it would be a good time. But, you know, we're not kids anymore, so everyone's got to make sure it's a supporting job to a degree, and we're making some living off of it. But, yeah, we are definitely looking forward to it, talking about it, planning it. It will begin in L.A., the guys are psyched. We might not have everyone for the long haul. We'll see how it goes. You know, L.A. first and take it from there. But we're so excited to get out and play this stuff for everyone again.
Now, you guys got a chance to play with some really awesome bands. I can't imagine what it was like being young in L.A. Paul Stanley, Ezio. Wasn't that Japanese band? And
awesome.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. And XYZ and Vixen and Warren, you guys play. Did you just think when you guys were playing, like, we've made it, you know? And what did you learn from some of these guys in the business?
Yeah, I sort of felt like that we've made it feel. Again, when you're out in L.A. and you're doing it, and I mentioned this before, there is, you know, a blue-collar approach to music as well. It's not all glamour, as they say. It really is a lot of hard work. You got to stay in shape. You got to go on the road. You know, you're doing all that. So I think even though we were there, and yes, sometimes I woke up and thought to myself, cool, you know, we're playing ahead of Warrant tonight or XYZ, this is awesome. But it was work because you all of a sudden get, in a way, at least I do, you get a little competitive, or at least you want to be the best you can be to match the intensity and the quality of these other bands. So, you know, you take like that workman-like approach. But you have to, because that's how you make it endure and how you stay in the same league, so to speak, with bands like that. But, yeah, great experiences, you know, listening to them, how they warm up. I think a lot of the times what I learned was, you know, being younger than these bands at that time, is you watch them and sense of humor and being really loose and having fun with everything was very important. All the bands that I saw that were already there, so to speak, we're having the time of their lives, you know, laughing and having fun, and you just try to stay loose and go with it. You've done your work, now it's time to party and give the folks a show, and so I learned a lot of that just on a professional level, I would say, but, you know, it's rock and roll. Professionalism is a loosely used term, although you could probably get away with less these days than you used to, but, yeah, and hearing their sound quality, you know, my guys would always look at their equipment and talk to them about gear and stuff like that, you know, learn all those kinds of tricks. But as far as playing with them, yeah, it's always a pleasure to warm up someone who's gone a little farther than you up to that point and hearing their sound. And it's great. You know, it is a dream come true, as they say. But again, it is work. But a lot of fun. XYZ EZO was one of my favorites. So I love those guys.
You remember Loudness? You know, those guys are back together with a new album.
Okay, someone just told me that Loudness was EZO, like a couple of the members. Is that true? I didn't know that.
I don't know that.
That's what some research, too. I really didn't know that. I thought it was completely separate. I thought Gene Simmons of KISS found EZO, which he did pretty much. He produced them and got them onto the scene. But I did not know for sure that they were a couple of the Loudness guys. And Loudness was cool, too.
Yeah, their new album is really amazing. I know they have a new drummer, and it's a lot heavier. It's got a heavier feel. It's really cool. You need to check it out.
Didn't you think EZO stood out even back then as far as their sound style? That's what we loved about them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still play them. I mean, I'm big on the 80s vibe. You know, that's kind of like what my show's based around, because I grew up then. I was in L.A. back in 1985, very briefly. I was a little scared. I think I was only about 16 when I went out there.
Really?
Yeah, and I ran off.
How come you didn't stay?
You know, I ran off with the band, you know, that was out here, and I went out to this place called The Galaxy. I don't even know if you remember that place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you heard of the Galaxy, that little shithole. That was like an after-hours club shithole. Everybody, there's some people live there. And it was Sweet Savage and the Dallas Dolls back then that I was out there with. I don't know if you remember those guys.
Sweet Savage sounds very familiar.
The blonde-headed guys, the big blonde hair. They were all blonde. But anyways, I don't know. I don't think I was quite ready for that L.A. lifestyle, you know. And I just... at the time, the boyfriend that I had, the bass player, was always locking me in the room. He didn't want me to kind of mingle because I was so young and stuff with the people and the crowd. So, the stage was right by the door. So, you know, I was always listening and stuff. But yeah, it was cool though. I mean, I just don't think at that age I was mentally ready for all of
it. Yeah, I loved it. As soon as I woke up, looked out my window that first morning, saw the palm trees, and just felt so far from quote-unquote home.
Yeah.
And this was my new home. I was ecstatic. I loved it. I said, oh, man, this is great. I'm going to just rock this town. That's all I had in mind. I couldn't wait. But then again, I was in the inner band, and, you know, we were on a mission, so.
Right, right. And you were a little bit older, too. I mean, I was.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, I was, when did I go out there? I was 18 or 19.
19, yeah.
It was great. Loved it.
So the new album, speaking of artists, did you design that cover?
The concept is mine, actually. Eddie Calzado over at Eonian is the master, though. He's the one that actually did the artwork. I love talking about this because, first of all, I'm sure we can agree, Eonian Records is awesome.
They are. They really are.
The quality of the artwork, the disc, you know, they had sent me a couple of discs from their previous bands that they had signed before us. And I was very impressed right at the get-go. And but I said to them, I said, listen, I love what's going on. But, you know, Steve was very excited to have us as another quote-unquote 80s band. But again, you know, you got to remember, Charlotte went through a minor transformation. And we gave up a lot of that look and went to a different look. You know, if you had to sum it up, you know, we looked less like, Damals and Motley Crue, and more like, you know, Guns N' Roses and Faith No More. We just got that, you know, different look going. So when this album was about to come out, I said, okay, guys, I love what the other bands are doing. No disrespect to anyone. Everyone's doing their thing. But we don't want the bimbo riding the rocket, and we don't want, you know, on the album cover. You know what I mean?
Like, I get it. One of the bands has that, I think. Is it Sergeant?
I think they do or something. That's why I mean, I don't mean any disrespect. You know what I'm saying? I just, for us, it wasn't us, you know? And I said, that's all fun, and I'm sure at one point we did have stuff like that on our flyers and our artwork, et cetera. I said, but really, you know, it's funny that we still ended up having a girl on the cover, but it is called Medusa Groove. Steve actually picked the title of the album. He loved the song so much itself. He said, that should be the title track, in my opinion. I think it's a great album name. I had a different idea for an album name, but I went with his. I thought it was great. And so ironically enough, yeah, we did end up having the girl figure on the cover. I said, but let's think of her more as the sex power goddess versus the, you know, vulnerable bimbo chick with the little G-string on. So I said, you know, let's involve a little bit more of the, again, going back to that word, get the voodoo in there, you know, get
right.
The snakes, give me the mysterious girl on the cover with the snakes and the whole...
Yeah, the Medusa. That Medusa.
Yeah, Medusa, you know.
Medusa was cool.
She'll turn you to stone. It's all about transformation. I said I want that whole vibe reflected, you know, as more of the goddess of transformation, and the snakes give that whole reptilian thing, and yeah, so that was my idea. They loved it. They stuck with it. They nailed it the first time around. There was no argument at all. It was just, well, there you go. You know, they did a great job.
Yeah, I love that song, too. It's a great song. And thanks. You got some more Little Devils and She Get It Up. I guess that pretty much is self-explanatory, isn't it?
She Get It Up, yeah. That was right on the cusp of that transformation of styles we were talking about. I love that song, though. It is a good raw rock song. And, yeah, it's about chicks that like to party.
And what about the Behind a Woman's Eyes?
Woman Behind the Eyes?
Yeah,
it's funny. Our manager / agent, representative, whatever we want to call it, we have a girl that helps us out, Liz, our good friend Liz. Hey, Liz, what's up if you're listening?
Hey, Liz.
She called me, I don't know, about a month ago. She goes, wow. She goes, you know, I was just really listening to Woman Behind the Eyes. She goes, I really get into the lyrics of that song. That girl must have really hurt you, Eric. And I said, I started laughing because, you know, I don't like to explain exactly what my songs mean to all the time to everyone. I like to leave a little interpretation to the listener.
Right.
But it's funny because Woman Behind the Eyes, the last thing, I will say this, the last thing that it's about is a breakup of two people, a guy and a girl. And it could sound like that, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
It's funny how people perceive songs. But no, Woman Behind the Eyes is, if you really listen to it, it's a song that pits materialism against, you know, someone's true nature and knowing who they are and how materialism and, you know, the
outward appearance.
It can affect who they are, right, exactly. But it's really about knowing someone's true nature behind all the persona and the distractions of life that we all experience. Cool song. I like that song.
Kind of the heart of a woman, the trueness.
You know, the eyes of the window to the soul and all that, exactly.
Very cool. Very deep, Eric.
Well, you know, it's not that deep. We all should think a little bit, I suppose.
Well, I think we're going to end it on this song. We're going to probably play this one because I haven't heard it yet, actually. This is one of the ones I haven't heard. So, Eric, I want to thank you so much. Have fun out there bartending. If someone's in the NY area, can they go see you over there?
Yeah, you should. You should come up. I actually want to get Charlotte to play here too.
What club?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I you know, there's definitely a couple places we could play here, and yeah, just give me a shout if you're ever in New York, and we'll show you around town.
Where are you bartending at? What's the name of the club?
Oh, well, like I said, and as a matter of fact, that place, one of the places closed down. I'm not anywhere in particular right now. I was just guest bartending at the one place, and they're no longer around. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be another party if and when you ever get here.
I've never been to NY.
Maybe I'd rather have you come here and see Charlotte play.
I'd rather you come to Texas.
We could do that too. Why not? We're actually talking about shows in Nevada. So if we stretch it out, I'd love to do the Southwest. I know Texas has a great music scene, of course.
Oh, yeah. It's still pretty good over here. It's not bad at all. I go see a lot of local bands and stuff and love to support the underground, you know?
Yeah, of course. Isn't Austin like a music mecca, or San Antonio, one of them, or both of them, right?
Both of them. I think Austin maybe a little bit more. Lots of shows out in Austin. All right, Eric, it's been a pleasure, and thank you for the wonderful shout-outs as well, and hopefully...
Likewise.
I wish we would have had some CDs to give away today, but Stephen was on vacation or something, so I guess he was tied up.
Well, we can hook you guys up. Let's keep in touch. I know we got some T-shirts on the way as well, so let's make some magic happen. We'll get you some stuff.
All right, very cool. Everyone, once again, lead vocalist Eric Gans from the...
Thanks a lot, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks to everyone else who supports and listens to Charlotte. couldn't do it without you.
All right, Eric, hold on a second. Once again, Eric Ganz of the band Charlotte, the heavy blues metal sound that these guys have is just incredible. You're going to love the CD, and we're going to play Woman Behind the Eyes right now, and you guys go check out the website, www.charlotterockband.com. If you have a MySpace page, you can add them up over there as well at myspace.com/charlottelamusic. All right, you guys.